When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To be there to observe how these transfers are done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Mess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Will begin to exhibit signs that are against the dictates of the law. In any case, when we said that we should have a gender, we never anticipated that it is going to result in such physical attacks.
Okay. Okay, Evans Demako, I'm grateful to you for joining. And thanks to you, Albert Kofi Ahin, as well as Mustafa Bande. This has been the top story. Coming up next is Newsnight with Evans Mensah.
In the next 60 minutes here on Newsnight, Attorney General set to face off with lawyers of minority leader and Richard Jackpa in ambulance procurement trial in less than 24 hours as he mounts challenge against application for mistrial and request for inquiry into his conduct following leaked call with third accused. But will the Chief Justice allow live coverage of tomorrow's hearing? We have the latest. Also tonight, police charge popular actor Kojo Nkansa Lewain with dangerous driving and negligently causing harm in accident case involving the actor's vehicle that claimed the life of a three-year-old boy. We'll hear from his lawyers who are seeking to set him free.
In fact, we were bulldozed here. We didn't come on our own. Fortunately, his statement was taken today. It was not just an ordinary game. We need to cross other hurdles to get him free.
We'll hear from family of the deceased who are mounting a spirited campaign for justice. Also tonight, 7 months after her passionate plea for free dialysis treatment, the dream of 15-year-old Priscilla Bruce will now come to pass, but she is not alive to enjoy what she prayed for. As the National Health Insurance Scheme rolls out 6-month dialysis support program for children like Priscilla.
I am appealing to the government to help me live through this. Otherwise, I may die.
We are doing this on compassionate grounds because it is our 20th anniversary, and we believe that by the time the 6 months elapsed, government would have announced a sustainable plan.
We'll also tonight hear from the Vice President.
Today, 3rd of June, dialysis treatment for everybody under 18, everybody over 60 is free in Ghana.
We'll also tell you how the Joy News Dialysis Crisis series brought the issue to the fore and tracked promises made by government and other stakeholders in sports.
We'll hear from President of the Ghana Football Association, who's urging the Black Stars to go to Mali and deliver positive results in the World Cup qualifiers.
And as the nation gears up for the 2024 elections, prospective first-time voters living with disabilities are making a strong push for the various political parties to prioritize free tertiary education in their manifestos.
I have a friend who is a visually impaired. You have to go for fishing before he can come to school.
Some people having disabilities graduate their secondary school with very good grades, but there's no one to support them. So if the government makes education free for people with disability, I think it is very good.
And stay for the details in the latest episode of our Just Turned 18 series.
And DSTV gives you a whole lot more for a lot less than you think. Ooh. Instead of one takeout dinner, how about treating the family to a whole month of the best entertainment with DSTV? From thrilling sports, blockbusters, captivating series, to entertaining kid shows, we have it all.
Totally awesome!
And with DSTV Stream, you can watch on the go.
I'm here!
Plus, you can choose a package to suit your pocket. There's a whole lot more to enjoy for a lot less than you think with DSTV.
Yes, so live here on Newsnight is on Joy 99.7 FM, and I will look forward to hearing from you. Send me a WhatsApp 0551111997, and I'll share it with the rest of the world. In less than 24 hours, the Accra High Court is set to witness a showdown between the Attorney General, Godfred Eboadame, and lawyers for minority leader Kesala Tofosing and Richard Jackpa, as he seeks to get the court to strike out applications for a mistrial and an inquiry into his conduct in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial. Now, Richard Jackpa, who is standing trial with the minority leader for causing financial loss to the state, is alleging gross prosecutorial abuse and abuse of the court process by the Attorney General. While Tofosing himself is citing recent developments involving a leaked telephone conversation between the third accused in the case and the Attorney General as basis for his application for a mistrial. Now, court correspondent Latif Idrisi joins me in the studio with details of this. First, what are the grounds for Tofosing's application?
Well, so if you recall, in his first affidavit filed on Friday, 31st of May, Dr. Tofosing highlighted concerns regarding the leaked tape And in the league tape, we are talking about what Richard Jagpa and the NDC put out, which he believes demonstrate professional misconduct on the part of the Attorney General. He said he has no doubt the Attorney General has engaged the third accused, that is Richard Jagpa, to discuss the current proceedings and the evidence the Attorney General desired Richard Jagpa to give in order to support the prosecution's case. He asked that the content of the recording is scandalous and leaves no doubt the Attorney General and his office cannot be reasonably expected to conduct the instant prosecution fairly and in accordance with the law.
Now, walk us through the relief Jagpa is also asking from the court.
So lawyers for the third accused, Richard Jagpa, argue that the charges and proceedings initiated by the Attorney General, Godfred Yeboah-Dame, constitute an abuse of court processes and violate the obligations set forth in the 1992 Constitution of Ghana. They contended that the Attorney General is misusing his constitutional powers by prosecuting him without justification. Mr. Jagpa also claims that in private conversations, the Attorney General admitted that there is no case against him, and him here we are referring to Mr. Richard Jagpa.
Now, we know that the AG has filed an application challenging these two positions. Walk us through that.
So the Attorney General has described the three applications filed against his office as unfounded, unmeritorious, and unknown to the laws of Ghana. He argues that there are no proper grounds canvassed by the applicant to warrant a grant of this application, which is unknown to the laws of the country and the criminal laws and practice in Ghana. He adds that the instant application is a smokescreen and a veiled attempt by the applicant to abort his legitimate prosecution for actions committed as a public officer, which led to the state losing colossal amount of funds. Same is incompetent, as no one has immunity from prosecution under the laws of Ghana. He asserts that the Attorney General is vested with the constitutional responsibility to prosecute all crimes within the Republic and cannot be prohibited from discharging his constitutional duty in respect of any person in Ghana, as all persons are equal before the law.
And we know that there's another application, this time asking the Chief Justice to consider allowing us all into the courtroom with our cameras to cover it live.
Yeah. So last week, Dr. Atufosin directed his lawyers to petition the Chief Justice, and this was the basis of his request. He said, in the wake of the recent expose concerning the illegal misconduct of the Attorney General, Godfred Yeboah-Dame, he instructed his lawyers to petition the Chief Justice for the live broadcast of all subsequent proceedings in the ambulance trial. He claimed that this request is motivated by a deep commitment to transparency and open justice, principles that are fundamental to a fair and impartial system.
And you'll be in court tomorrow
to cover that.
Okay.
We hope to see whether we'll be allowed to take our cameras in there or we'll be denied.
It's going to be a very interesting day indeed. We look forward to that. I want to bring in Professor Kojo Epeje-Tia. He's Associate Professor at School of Law, University of Ghana. Kweku Painsil is a private legal practitioner. Both gentlemen joining me right now for a conversation on this as we look forward to tomorrow. Prof, let me start with you. So, Casey Latuforsen is asking the court to declare mistrial. What is a mistrial?
A mistrial is a proceeding in court that is halted by the judge as a result of an error or mistake in the proceedings, or after the hearing has ended and then the criminal case, the matter has been referred to a jury. If the jury is unable to reach a verdict, then that can also result in a mistrial.
And I'm curious, is the concept of a mistrial, is it known under our laws? Because you hear it mostly in the U.S.
A mistrial can happen under our laws because mistakes can be made in the course of prosecuting a case. And if also a jury, there's a hung jury, that means they are not able to reach a verdict. So in a criminal case, in a jury trial, it's a jury that finally determines the matter. So the verdict will be guilty or not guilty. And so if the jury is unable to agree on whether an accused person should be declared guilty or not, then it means that the trial cannot continue.
you've seen the circumstances in this particular case. The judge obviously will have to evaluate the facts on this matter. Surprised to see that this application had gone in, knowing what we now know?
Not really, because looking at the revelations that have come out, it's possible that a mistrial could be an outcome, one of the outcomes that the case may have, because we know, for example, how the whole plea bargaining thing has been misinterpreted and misapplied, and so that in itself, we don't know how much or to what extent the Attorney General has managed to use his powers to coerce or to pressurize any of the accused persons to make a statement that is not, which may have tampered with the proceedings and so on. So it is possible that a mistrial could take place. But of course, at the end of the day, it's up to the judge to make that determination.
And Lawyer Pinksel, you agree that from the what has transpired so far, this is a legitimate course of action for lawyers of Fatou Forson?
I don't honestly believe that we will come near that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. And I'll tell you my simple reason. The trial is taking place before a court of law, presided over by a judge, and she relates to the facts and the evidence before that court. And before the court are the parties' witness statements, the charge sheets. What I know so far is that the prosecution has ended this case, and the defense, I'm talking about the accused persons who are now leading evidence, and when they finish, they will be cross-examined. I'm talking about a particular witness. And therefore, you can go outside the courtroom and invite the judge to matters that are transpiring out of the courtroom, even if it bears relevance to what is in the courtroom, to invite the judge to consider that evidence that is outside the courtroom, compare it to what is in the courtroom, and on the basis of that, get the judge to declare that there's a mistrial. And let me explain. You see, what is really happening is that the Attorney General is prosecuting these accused persons. It is alleged that the same Attorney General has spoken to these accused persons outside the court, and among other things, alleged that there's no evidence against one of those persons. And if my understanding is right, is that allegation that has not been placed before the court trying the matter to invite the court to declare a mistrial or somehow to throw out the suit on the basis of what Attorney General is alleged to have said outside the courtroom. Now, if the judge has the evidence of what is before her, the trial is not over. What we are doing is to invite a trial judge to look at what transpired out of the court and use that as a basis. Even if it is true, the Attorney General made the allegation that there's no case against this particular applicant because he's got the matter before the court now. Is the judge supposed to look at what the Attorney General said and ignore what is patently before a court on the basis of which evidence is being laid merely because it is alleged that the Attorney General said? That's the difficulty that I have. The judge is supposed to look at what is before her, even if it is alleged that the Attorney General made that allegation. The judge is not supposed to take what the Attorney General is alleged to have said, hook, line, and sinker, and on that basis accept an invitation to throw the matter before her court with the evidence before her court. I don't see that possibility. I mean, that's my view.
In any case, the judge will have to make a determination, having evaluated the facts before her, whether or not this is something that deserves her looking into or declaring a mistrial. But considering that this is going to happen tomorrow, I want to stay from the substance as much as I can. And I want to ask all of you, because there's also an application to allow this particular trial to be covered live by all of us media folks, sending our cameras in there. And Professor Apejutia, what do you make of that application? Will it be in the interest of justice for this trial, considering that it's a criminal trial, to be covered live by?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
The media.
I don't think the fact that it's a criminal trial would take away the fact that it could be or it should be telecast live. I think it's the key issue is whether it's a case of public interest. Of course, most often what we have seen is constitutional law cases, and these are cases which have ramifications or impact on the country as a whole. And so a criminal case can also have such impact, considering the fact that if you are doing criminal cases, the republic against somebody. So is the country, the whole country, against somebody. So if it is a case that could have an impact on the country as a whole, and it's also a case that has generated so much interest and discussions and debates and even controversies, then it becomes a case of public interest, and people are interested to understand what the law is on the subject matter and to know how it may impact on their lives. So I think on that score, it will be a good thing if it is telecast live for people to really get involved in the case and be able to, at the end of the day, understand what went on and how it might have any implications on their lives as members or as citizens of the country.
Mr. Pengsel, you agree?
I agree with him. I would say that justice is dispensed in the name of people like you and I. And if we really had opportunity, not only this particular case, but every case that is in Ghana could be telecast live and everybody will have the opportunity. At the end of the day, the real issue is about the resources or the funds or what budget that the judiciary has for this kind of activities. And we know too well to know that is the economics that cannot support the politics of this matter. So, but the principle is okay. The principle I agree with. But even in this particular case, I'm embarrassed by the request at the point that they are making the reason for which it is being made by those who are requesting for it. How does the case immediately assume this importance merely because Jakpa and the Attorney General went and met and discussed outside the courtroom? Then the argument then is that what is in the courtroom now is becoming important. Fair enough. Justice is open justice. And I, in principle, am not opposed. But indeed and in fact, the basis for the request is what I'm wondering. What is new? Merely because the Attorney General is alleged to have met the distance outside the court and they have made that discussion. How is that going to bring what transpired outside the court or what may subsequently transpire outside the court into the courtroom? But I want to say that I agree with Professor everything that he has said in principle, and I wish that every matter in this country, they will come, that each one will be telecast live and so forth and so on. There's not that what we call open justice, and everybody believes or thinks that we may come to a time in this court, a day in this country, that everybody will have the benefit of sitting his bedroom and watching proceedings live in the court.
What transpires in court live. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That's Kweku Pinto, is a lawyer, and also Professor Kweju Apejutia is the Associate Professor, School of Law, University of Ghana. What's your position on this? The Chief Justice is weighing up the application and will make a determination whether or not to allow cameras into the courtroom tomorrow or subsequently for us to bring you live coverage of that ambulance trial. Do you agree that is needed in this particular case? Why don't you share your thoughts with us? 055-1111-997. Now, also tonight, police have charged actor Kojo Inkansa, popularly known as Lewayne, with dangerous driving and negligently causing harm as they begin prosecuting him for that accident that claimed the life of a 3-year-old boy that involved his vehicle. Now, Lewayne was taken into custody by officers from the Motor Traffic and Transport Department of the Mensah Divisional Command shortly after being discharged from the hospital. My colleague Clinton Yeboah has been following this keenly and joins me right now with more on this. Clinton, in what shape was Lewin when he was brought to court today?
Hello. All right. Thank you very much, Evans. From how even the state prosecutor, Emilia Owusu-Anta, strongly insisted that the actor should be tried, you could see from his face the distress, and also not just the bandages, but also his mood. You could see him calmly seated in the courtroom. His face indicated a huge despair as he sat there quietly with his arms, between his thighs. All the bandages and the surgical jackets that were around his neck all seek to indicate that the actor is in a critical state. And this was confirmed and argued by his counsel that the actor is not in a healthy state to be in court or to even stand at court. And so the prosecuting judge indicated and asked the actor to sit down instead of even standing per the indication and the explanation that was given by the counsel that the actor is not in good health.
And whilst he was ushered away, did he have support? Was he limping? Did he have crutches on? I understand he also had neck braces.
Yes. So he was brought into the police custody earlier in the morning in a wheelchair. But the wheelchair was not part of him when he was sent to court. However, he was being mobbed by some fans and also some police officers. He did not walk by himself into the courtroom. He was mobbed by some people.
What about his lawyers? They've been talking to the media shortly after the proceedings ended. What have they been saying?
Okay, so even in court, the accused is supposed to stand. However, the court says, and the counsel says, the client or her client is not in a good shape to stand. And so the counsel demanded that the client sits. The conversation that I have had with the client, with the counsel, she says that the actor was bulldozed from the hospital. That is to say that per his condition, she wants to describe how Lewin was taken from the hospital to the police station to the court as a situation that under normal circumstance wouldn't have happened. She says the actor was bulldozed by the police into the police station and also subsequently into court. But she argued for bail, which the prosecuting judge saw the reasons in it and asked that the actor goes on bail on a 50,000 Ghana cedis bail.
And after the call in the address to you lot journalists there, they insisted what he's innocent? Hello, Clinton?
Yes, I didn't get the question.
Did they insist to you when they had a conversation with you outside the court that he was innocent? I'm talking about the lawyers for Lil Wayne.
No. Currently, the actor has been granted bail with two sureties. That is to say that he's still under investigation, which the court is expected to sit on his case again after 4 weeks, which would be 27th of this month.
and also to everybody, because you saw the condition of my client. You saw the condition of my client. He's not even too well, but we have to respect the law. In fact, we were bulldozed here. We didn't come on our own. Fortunately, his statement was taken today, and the courts just saw how he is now. So bail was granted, and it was not just an ordinary game. We need to cross other hurdles to get him free.
And what about the family of the deceased three-year-old boy? Were they also in court today?
None of the family members were at the court. But earlier conversation I have had with a relative is that the first time that they had an engagement with the actor and the management, it didn't go so well. They described the situation as very insulting with the way the actor and his management went about resolving the issue. And so none of the family members were around. However, I was able to reach out to a family member who says the arrest is enough for them, but they are still insisting that justice prevails in this case.
Clinton, thank you very much. I want to bring in Martin Kpebu, his lawyer. As you've been hearing there, the police have now charged Lil Wayne on the back of that accident that claimed the life of a three-year-old boy. He's been charged by the police, the MTTD department, and we know that he's now currently on bail. The charges are dangerous driving and negligently causing harm is what he's been charged with. Martin, you listen to these charges. If it fits what he's accused of?
Yes. So what happens is that generally when a person causes death of another by, let's say, negligent driving, these are the charges. These are the charges. But there's a higher one which is called manslaughter by car accident, but they don't generally do that. So you can have a charge of manslaughter if it is seen that the driving was so bad. But if you get these ones of dangerous driving, etc., that is, it's okay. It's okay. Those are the normal charges.
And normally, what does this come with in terms of penalty?
Yeah, so there is imprisonment, but they usually do the fine. Yes, they usually do the fine, but in very extreme circumstances, you could have imprisonment. Yes, I think it goes to up to a maximum of 5 years. Yes.
But you say, per your experience, typically you'll get a fine instead of going to jail.
Yes, standard. Most of the time, it comes with a fine. I remember the last, I've seen imprisonment just once. In Koforidua, a colleague of mine, it was hell broke loose. Everybody thought they were just going to get a fine, and then the judge gave them imprisonment. So they had to act quickly, and then it took about a week or two, then they got it resolved.
And that's the fact that this accident led to the loss of the life of a three-year-old boy. Does it matter at all in the court's evaluation of what sanction and what penalty to impose?
Yes, it matters. But like I said, so you've seen the number of road accidents in Ghana. You see each year, thousands of people die. Yet, we don't charge them with manslaughter. We usually don't. So is this reckless, dangerous driving, etc.? Yes, so if we are getting angry with the turn of events, or let's say the trend over these years, why not? We can have a debate about it as a society. But you just, look at it. Each year, the thousands of road accidents you see and the thousands of people who die. You don't have most drivers going in for years. Oh, otherwise, then by now, I'm sure there would be few men left. Can you imagine the last 10 years? Look at it. Each year, you hear over 1,000. 1,000 is not even the number. Each year, consistently, more than 2,000 people die in road accidents, right? Yet, you don't have all the drivers jailed for years. Yes. No, once in a while, then one or two are jailed. But usually, it goes with a fine.
Thank you very much, Martin, and helping us appreciate the charges that have now been slapped against Luwain. I want to bring in Charles Asamoah, his brother, to the victim, the deceased, in this particular matter. He joins us on the line right now. Mr. Asamoah, thanks for time here on Newsnight. How is the family reacting to the way the police have handled this particular matter? We know today they finally arrested and they have now charged Luwain with two charges, fatal, dangerous driving and negligently causing harm.
Good evening to your cherished viewers. The family is pleased with the extent of the action taken by the police, and we are very happy about the outcome of the whole issue.
And from what I understand, you are at the police station right now?
Yes, we are at the station right now to make inquiries because we were not formally informed of him being arrested and taken to that place. And due to that, the family did not make any representation at the court. So we decided to come to the police station right now and find out the extent and then the outcome of what happened at the court.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's Charles Asamoah. He's a brother to the victim in this particular case involving the actor, Luwain. Let's hear from you. Share your thoughts with the rest of the world shortly after business. But just before business, I want to take you to the courts today. Stay with the issues around the legal matters that we've been covering for you today. The Accra High Court is giving parties in the ongoing anti-LGBTQ plus case of Paul Boama Sefa and versus the Speaker of Parliament and another 4 weeks to file their written submissions to support their arguments before a determination is made on July 29th. And the plaintiff, a farmer in the Ashanti region, is praying the Supreme Court to stop the passage of the bill, a bill which has since been passed into an act, waiting for presidential assent for it to become law. Latifi Dreeves was in court and has the following story.
According to the plaintiff, the statutory requirement for the anti-LGBTQ plus bill to be accompanied by fiscal impact analysis has not been complied with. Under the provisions of the Act, those who take part in LGBTQ plus sexual acts could face imprisonment between 6 months to 3 years. The bill also imposes a prison sentence of 3 to 5 years for the quote, willful promotion, sponsorship, or support of LGBTQ plus activities.
In a very brief proceedings here at the High Court, the sitting judge, Justice Ellen Miracle, has given the parties involved in this matter, that is the anti-LGBTQ case before this court, up until July 4th for the plaintiff to file his written submission. The Attorney General and the Speaker of Parliament have up until July 29 to also file a response, by which date the court is expected to sit for a determination to be made on that matter. Today's proceedings is historic in the sense that for the first time in the history of this republic, TV cameras were allowed into a high court for the live coverage of proceedings. This is part of the Chief Justice's initiative as a way of reinventing the frontiers of the judicial system and also the newly created love affair between the judiciary and the media.
4 weeks upon service, you have 4 weeks within which to file. By 29th, all of you have filed. I can give you a date for a determination. But at least by 29, they should have filed because they are supposed to file by the 4th of July. Hopefully you are just here. Maybe you are just here. So maybe if you file it, they can be served the same day or the day after. So I'm hoping that by 29, all parties would have filed and I can give you a date. If I am a vacation, then I can come during the vacation.
You all come back to business on Newsnight. Now, the Bank of Ghana is set to sign an agreement with the Ministry of Finance to recapitalize the institution. The move was announced in the bank's annual accounts for last year. There is more in this report.
The Bank of Ghana is looking at signing first memorandum of understanding with the Finance Ministry to aid in the recapitalization of the institution by the end of the third quarter of this year. This will see the Finance Ministry bring in the needed fresh funds to improve the capital position of the central bank. This is one of the several measures that the Bank of Ghana is instituting to try turn around the bank from the lost position to a more profitable one going forward. This is part of the IMF program that government has agreed in principle to help recapitalize the central bank. The regulator believes that this, together with other measures that it is introducing, will turn around the fortunes of the bank in the coming month. Persons close to the Bank of Ghana have maintained that if things should go as planned, they're hoping to see the bank return to posting some good profits by the end of this year.
And that is a Business Desk report. Let's still stay on these developments because banking consultant Dr. Richmond Itoani has described as prudent measures outlined by the Bank of Ghana to turn around its lost position for last year. The central bank has rolled out some key measures which it believes will improve its financials by the end of this year. Dr. Itoani, however, maintains that the Bank of Ghana needs to be strict on these policy measures that it is implementing.
When a bank is in a negative capital, people say it's policy, what have you, policy solvency. But the nitty-gritty is that people begin, those you're dealing with, especially the external, like Bank of England, Federal Reserves, and Bundestag, these banks will then begin to look at you that you're good for nothing. So your credibility and your confidence is affected. That is the reason why they have to go to government. You say, oh, we want you to take a long term to medium term so that it can be capital restoration. So if they do the capital restoration and confidence coming, and if also if the macroeconomic environment is actually improved, high inflation coming, say, about 8%, policy rate dropping, all these things will grant, give us an enabling business environment for the central bank itself and then in support of the banking sector.
Dr. Richmond Itoani is a banking consultant. The cedi depreciated by almost 8% against the US dollar for last month. Now, that's according to data from some of the commercial banks monitoring the cedi's movement for the month of May. The data showed that for the fast rate of depreciation has also slowed down over the past week. But the banks are less than linking the challenges experienced in May to the limited supply of dollars on the market by the Bank of Ghana. These banks are putting the rate of depreciation from January to May at 20.5%. Now, businesses are warning that they will pass on the cost of the high utility tariffs to consumers for them in terms of price hikes from next month. The Public Utility Commission has announced an increase in water utility tariffs by more than 5%. Mark Bidua Boaji is chief executive of the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry.
This is obviously not a good news for businesses in Ghana. Already, businesses in Ghana at the moment are suffering from the rapid depreciation of the local currency, the high cost of borrowing, and the high inflation. So an increase in water and electricity tariffs will rather compound an already bad situation and worsen the plight of businesses in Ghana. You may think that the increase in electricity tariffs of 4.92 and water of 5.16 is minimal. But for businesses and also more so for manufacturing companies that uses a lot of water and a lot of electricity, the cumulative effect of this will be dire. Obviously, this is going to push up the cost of production and make businesses in Ghana unprofitable and uncompetitive. I also think that the PURC should rather also channel their efforts and their energy in ensuring that we have regular and constant supply of electricity. How do we increase electricity tariffs in the midst of this doomsday, where businesses already are spending huge sums of money looking for alternative source of energy to power their operation? Obviously, when the cost of production goes up, consumers will suffer because businesses will have no option than to push part of this cost to consumers in the form of higher prices.
Mark Bedua Boaji is chief executive of the Ghana National Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
And Joe, thank you very much. It's still live, your news night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And I'll be reading a few more of your messages on our WhatsApp console coming in from all around the world. And one I want to share with you before I move on to the major story around the dialysis crisis and the interventions that dialysis patients, kidney patients, have been looking forward to is that from Elder from Sunyani. It says this AG competency is very questionable. If you critically assess the urgency with which he treats corruption-related issues and the Nanado's government as compared to how he is serious handling their two forces case, one is simply convinced that he is more political than the custodian of our justice. And a final one also on the stories that have been looked at so far, this from the Nanado Kwamwa Boate says, we thank the Vice President, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, for coming to the aid of those with kidney failure by taking care of the cost of dialysis. And it's that story that I turn to next here on Newsnight. Now, 15-year-old kidney failure patient Priscilla Asante died died 48 hours after she spoke to Joy News and made a passionate plea for government to absorb the cost of dialysis treatment. Her parents at the time could not afford the much-needed treatment, which left her bloated. But 7 months after her plea and death, her wish has come to pass. The National Insurance Scheme is set to begin a free 6-month dialysis program. Under the support program, persons below age of 18, like Priscilla, at the time of her death, and those above 60 years will receive all 8 free dialysis sessions per month for free. Now, all those between the ages of 18 to 59 years will receive 2 free dialysis sessions per month. Now, the Joy News Dialysis Crisis Series brought the issue of the high cost of dialysis treatment to the fore. It culminated in a big conversation on the matter last year and a follow-up series last month to assess progress in implementing some of the promises made by government. We'll hear from the National Health Insurance Authority shortly. But first, here's Priscilla Asante's story.
The humming sound of medical equipment here at the renal units of the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital welcoming patients. It's a Tuesday morning and 15-year-old Priscilla Asante is being wheeled into the renal unit here.
The doctors told me I have to be on the machine, and I have to be on that machine either twice or thrice a week.
For now, she has to travel nearly 100 kilometers from Chifumampong with her mother to the Cape Coast Teaching Hospital every Tuesday and Thursday to have her dialysis session.
My mom and dad do not have money either. We have become miserable. I am appealing to the government to help me live through this. Otherwise, I may die.
Priscilla, a junior high school pupil, now carries a weight much heavier than her school bag. Her daily battle now is not with textbooks and homework, but with the relentless adversary, renal failure.
I want the government to support me so I can live to fulfill my dream of becoming a nurse.
The burden of her illness has not only taken a toll on her fragile body, but has shattered her world due to the family's precarious financial situation.
They said that could be 3.5.
They say every section is 350 cedis. And this in addition to getting blood and other medication.
Priscilla's mother, Ruth Fori, has been a pillar of strength for her daughter and is determined to ensure her only daughter lives. With teary eyes, she shares the story of her family's headache, struggling to cope with emotional and financial strain that comes with caring for her only daughter battling renal failure.
From the doctors, if I keep on missing this section, I may lose my daughter, and I need the help of the government.
Well, 15-year-old Presla Sante did not live to see her wishes come to pass. Now, some of the kidney failure patients you just heard also expressed fear that they may not live long enough to enjoy the government's promised intervention. Well, there is some help coming through now, as the National Health Insurance Scheme is set to begin a free six-month dialysis program. James Avegi joins me in the studio with details of a statement from the National Health Insurance Authority. James, give us a breakdown of the beneficiaries of this particular intervention.
So the NHIS generally categorize them into three: persons below 18 years, persons between 19 and as well as 59 years, and then people above 60 years. Now, they again put those under 18 and 60 years into what they call vulnerable groups. And they have announced that they'll be taking the course of dialysis of 8 sessions, that is 2 sessions per week for a month for all of them. They will take the total cost, which is, 491 Ghana cedis per session. Now, the figure they put there is about some 84 persons who are within this category, and the health insurance will be paying a total of 329 Ghana cedis, 952. That's the total amount they will be paying. Now, when you put the 6 months cost that they'll be taking, by the end of this year, the health insurance would have spent some 2.3 million Ghana cedis on those two category of persons. If you go to those who are between the 19 and 59 years, they would be spending some 1 million Ghana cedis on them. Those in hospitals, Komfuanoche Teaching Hospital, Cape Coast Teaching Hospitals, as well as Efien Kwanta Regional Hospital and the Tamale Teaching Hospital, as well as Ho Teaching Hospital, they'll be spending some 1 million Ghana cedis on them. You would notice that I didn't mention Kolebu Teaching Hospital. They say that those in Kolebu have been getting some benevolence support from some organizations, and so they'll be supporting them with owning some amount of money, which would also amount to some 1.03 million Ghana cedis. If you put all of this together, gives you some 2 million Ghana cedis. Now, all of it from the three categories gives you some 4.3 million Ghana cedis. The health insurance's government has approved some 2 million Ghana cedis, and they, within their internal revenue, would be approving some 2.4 million Ghana cedis to add to it to take this total cost, Evans.
Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia has been providing additional details on this.
Good thing this morning, let me let you know, because you don't know anything. National Health Insurance, a few months ago, you know, said dialysis treatment is very expensive. Very expensive, Simon. And we said this, and for some reason, a lot of our citizens are getting kidney problems. So the demand for dialysis has gone up, and the cost is high. So we talked to the president, and then we said, look, government has to intervene through National Health Insurance. And I made the announcement a few months ago, maybe 2 months ago, that National Health Insurance will work towards providing dialysis treatment for our citizens. The good news is that today, 3rd of June, dialysis treatment for everybody under 18, everybody over 60 is free in Ghana under National Health Insurance. Everybody under 18, everybody under over 60, and then those in between is going to be subsidized because we want to make sure we can afford it in the budget and all of that. But for anybody under 18, everybody under over 60, from today, dialysis system treatment under the NHIS will be free.
Well, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Health Insurance Authority, Dr. Da Costa Bwaji, says a free six-month dialysis program is being rolled out on compassionate grounds.
Parliament approved 2 million Ghana cedis for the NHIA
to use in supporting dialysis needy patients. So when we looked at the numbers, and for the numbers for the elderly and that of the children below the ages of 18, we realized that it is something that we can obviously cover all their aid sections because they are the needy. So immediately they were our first priority to consider. And when we considered that, we realized that obviously we would also be able to support the other patients within the between the ages of 18 and 59. So what we did was for all persons between the ages of 18 to 59 from selected facilities that we do have the list, we are giving them 2 dialysis sessions free of charge.
Well, the Renal Patients Association of Ghana described the initiative as laudable.
It's not like 100%, at least. Even if it's one session, you appreciate it have getting the one session. Mm-hmm. Because if somebody tried to sponsor you or pay one session at dialysis for you, he has saved your life. Mm. So it's a welcoming news. We appreciate and we really thank them for whatever they've done for us. But like I said, that is not a solution to the whole thing. 8 sessions and then they are taking 2 for you. Mm. Yes, it's a milestone. But the point is, how do we survive with the 6 sections there? So, yes, we really appreciate them. We thank them, and then let's see the way forward.
Well, radio indeed gets results. I want to do some sports now, and Ms. Bao is here with the very latest.
Yeah, Evans, let me just start from the Ghana Premier League, because FC Samatex, in their second season in the Ghana Premier League, they've managed to lay their hands on the title, and this followed their win over Bieni Gold Stars on Sunday at their sports complex. Now, the Giants, of course, unlocked a new milestone in the history just a season after being promoted into Ghana's top flight. And the man who led them is Nuruddin Amadou, and he managed to clinch the title with 2 games to spare. Great Olympics and Heart of Oak are still in that relegation battle, and Great Olympics will play Dreams FC on Wednesday with the hope of just climbing out of the relegation zone. Well, the Black Stars tomorrow, they will fly to Bamako, Mali, as they look to face the Malians in the World Cup qualifier on Thursday. And ahead of that game, President of the Ghana Football Association, Kurt Okereke, has been urging the team to deliver positive results.
That we'll go to Mali with all the confidence that we have, with all the quality that I know we have, and go and put up a good performance that will give us the desired results. This is possible. Then after that, we'll come back to our favorite, Kumasi, and God willing, finish off the other game. On behalf of the FA, on behalf of Ghanaians, I wish all of us well. Let's train well, and let's get ready for the trip to Bamako.
And we wish them all the best. And just before we end the show tonight, some prospective first-time voters living with various forms of disabilities are demanding the inclusion of free tertiary education in the manifestos of the political parties ahead of the 2024 general elections. These young voters face unique challenges in accessing higher education, from financial barriers to physical accessibility. Now listen to the interaction with Joy Prime's Lois Shola Adeyemi in the latest episode of our Just Turned 18 show.
There's someone's father who is taking care of me in the tertiary institution. So I have a friend who is a visually impaired. He has to go for fishing before he can come to school. So saying this, those are the things that will influence me, because if not, he, for instance, cannot attend university.
Anybody else agreeing with what Foster has said?
Yes, I also agree with him, because some people having disabilities graduate the secondary school with very good grades, but there's no one to support them. And you know, Ghana, it's very difficult for you as a person with disability to get a side job, which you can use to pay your university fees and hostel fees. So if the government makes education free for people with disability, I think it is very good. So it actually influences our decision.
Okay. We, the marginalized in society, tend to be sidelined during the extended term of a political party. By getting to elections, then they remember us and come with many promises. I would pay attention to what I believe is feasible and very applicable to me. That would assist me in making my decision to vote.
And you want to catch the full episode across our many social media platforms. And remember that this is your election headquarters and is always brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, CIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and CIMA, together as Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, as well as Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation. Enjoy the rest of your evening.